This morning we'll be considering Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In connection with that, we'll be reading this morning Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Notice here in this chapter of the Word of God, the seeking of Jehovah God, verses 6 and 7, especially speak of that, but it's the beginning of the chapter as well that uses that picture language of thirsting and hungering and buying even as pictures of seeking Jehovah. So Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Thus far we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 6. You can find that in page 5 in the back of your Psalter. There the Catechism asks, why must he, and that's our mediator, Jesus Christ, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Why must he in one person be also very God? That he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Whence knowest thou this? From the holy gospel which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the Word. Father in heaven, we now have read the scriptures and now begin to hear the preaching of the gospel with the assurance of what we read out of Isaiah 55, that thy word will not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish thy purpose. We pray, O Lord, that it will accomplish thy purpose again today, as thou hast promised. And we pray, O Lord, that the purpose it accomplishes in our midst is that we are fruitful trees. Trees that are living. Trees that are growing. Because thy Spirit is working within us. Use the Word to give us growth in our faith so that we would trust in Jesus Christ. So that we would seek Him and seek Him for the right reasons. We know ourselves to be so sinful that we can even seek Jesus for the wrong reasons. May that not be true of us. May we not look at Jesus in a wrong way, but may we see Him this morning in truth. That He is very man, also very God, perfectly righteous. Is man and God united in the one person, the Son of God. May we see that glorious truth today and be comforted. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme for the sermon this morning is seeking the perfect mediator. And that theme comes out of the Lord's Day, especially in connection with the question at the end of Lord's Day 5. That leads into Lord's Day 6. I could have read it when we read Lord's Day 6 because it leads into this, but I wanted to save it here for the introduction. But notice what it says. It says, what sort of mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Seek for. And that's what we want to consider this morning. The perfect mediator that we seek. And the one that we seek for, the answer is one who is very man, one who is perfectly righteous, and one also who is very God. And now that's what we are considering this morning. Seeking Him. There are different reasons that we may seek something. We might seek something because it's lost. You lose your keys. They're lost, you seek them. But also you seek those keys then because you need them. If you're going to go to work in the morning or you're going to go to church this morning, you need those keys to be able to drive where you need to go. That's another reason that we seek something. And that's the idea here. The seeking that we consider this morning is a seeking because we need something. You need your keys. You might need your phone. There are other things we seek because we want them, not because we need them. But we seek the perfect mediator then because we need Him. Now let's understand something about seeking. Right from the outset, let's see and understand that seeking is not something that we do by nature. At least not seeking the perfect mediator. None of us would do that of ourselves. In fact, we would hate Him and despise Him like we see so many others doing in the world today and like we've seen so many others do in the past history of the world, even in the history of Jesus' own life. They hated Him, they despised Him, they were not seeking Him. That we seek the perfect mediator is the gift of God's grace to us. And this activity of seeking is part of the activity of faith. When we know our own sins by the grace of God. And that's where the catechism has been leading us, hasn't it? That's the past, what we've looked at already, the section on our own sin. And knowing our sin now, this is what we do by faith. We're seeking the perfect mediator. This is the activity of faith in our own lives. And why do we seek Jesus? We seek Him because we need Him. We need Him always. We need Him every day. We need Him every hour. We need Him every minute. But why? And that's something we need to look at this morning as well. Why do we need Him? And it's very easy for us to twist that and think that we need Him for things we don't really need Him for. We become self-focused in that. Well, I need Him because I want. Well, we wouldn't say it that way. I need this, I need that, I need this other thing. And no, we need Him because what we need the most is redemption. What we need the most is salvation. What we need is deliverance from our sin. We need reconciliation with God. And so as we consider seeking the perfect mediator, let's understand what this seeking is. It's the activity of faith, seeking Jesus Christ, because we know that we need Him for salvation and for deliverance from our sin. And that's true no matter what the circumstances of our lives are right now. This is what we need Jesus for at every moment and always. So we consider this morning seeking the perfect mediator. Noticing first, seeking whom. Secondly, seeking why. And then finally, seeking how. First of all, the question, seeking whom? Well, it is Jesus Christ. That's the answer of the catechism as well. Remember question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? For one who is very man, perfectly righteous and very God. Well, who is that? Answer 18 says, our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. And first of all, then, we see and understand that we seek the perfect mediator, Jesus Christ, because He is the perfect mediator. Now that means we have to understand something about what a mediator does and what a mediator is. When we talk about a mediator, we see and understand that Jesus Christ is the mediator who makes payment for our sin in order to reconcile us to God. That was Lord's Day 5 that we considered 2 weeks ago. We looked at those words, reconciliation by payment. Reconciliation by making satisfaction for sin. This is what Jesus Christ does. He takes those who are the enemies of God, those who are given to Him by the Father from all eternity, but are by nature enemies of God, and He makes them the friends of God. He reconciles them to God. He makes them to be sons and daughters through His work. Now let's see and understand what an amazing mediator Jesus Christ is. He's very different than any other kind of mediator. He's a unique mediator and an appointed mediator. Well, what makes Him a unique mediator? Well, I say that because He's unique in comparison to the earthly conception of a mediator. The earthly conception of a mediator is a third party who goes between two other parties who are estranged, who can't get along. That may happen in the business world, but that also happens in families. That happens probably in our homes almost every day where there are children. Mom is a mediator between two of the kids who are fighting with each other, and one comes and tattles on the other and says, Sally hit me. Well, then Mom has to find out the whole story. Maybe finds out that the brother hit Sally first. And so Mom's mediating between all of that. She's figuring out what the truth is. And then she's administering justice in the midst of that and reconciling the two who are estranged. And that can happen in a marriage as well, when marriage isn't going well, that there's a counselor who goes between, an elder or pastor who goes between and mediates between the two. But it's a third party that enters in. Jesus Christ is not that kind of mediator, not a third party who enters in between two. But there are unique things about the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. And what is unique about Him is that He is God and man. We'll be looking at that more fully in a moment. But He is God and man united in one person. That one person is the Son of God with two natures. He's very God and very man, a human nature and a divine nature. So He's not a third party. He is God and man. And that's part of what makes Him the perfect mediator that we need to be reconciled to God. He is God and man. Now, this doesn't mean that God and man are working together in this work of mediation. and this work of reconciliation. No, this mediator is the gift of God. And not only does he come from God, but it's amazing that he comes from God. Because in this, God has done nothing wrong. God is the one who's offended by our sin. We've attacked God by our sin. And yet God, in His marvelous grace and mercy, He has given the mediator, even though He is under no obligation to do so, and although we certainly don't deserve that. So what a mediator, perfect mediator. God has given to us the one who is God and man as a gift of His grace. Let's see and understand then this morning that from all eternity, God has appointed and commissioned Jesus Christ to accomplish our redemption and our reconciliation. That's part of understanding this gift of God's grace to us. Our redemption and salvation are built upon foundations laid in eternity. Our redemption is not simply God's response to our sin, as if this was God's plan B, and He didn't realize that that was going to happen, although maybe He saw that it was a possibility. That's not the way God sees things, but God has ordained all things, and from all eternity, God ordained that Jesus Christ would be the mediator of His people, the people who would fall into great and heinous sin before Him. And God appointed Him to reveal His amazing grace and love for the glory of His name, for the praise of the glory of His grace, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1. And so, beloved, as the Heidelberg Catechism sets this before us here in Lord's Day 6, we see that this is the very heart of the gospel that is revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Let's take a moment to see and understand that. I jump to that last question and answer of the catechism. Whence knowest thou this? Oh, we know it from the gospel. And that gospel that is now revealed to us right here in the Holy Scriptures. Is this not the gospel revealed to us, the good news revealed to us? Jesus Christ is our perfect mediator. The one promised by God in Genesis 3 verse 15 when He promised to send the seed of the woman. The one promised by God in the book of Isaiah. We read Isaiah 55, but two chapters before, Isaiah 53. A beautiful passage that sets before us the suffering servant of Jehovah. And there, it's saying He would come. And we know that He has come. And we have Him revealed throughout Scripture from beginning to end. That's the word to us in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. We looked at not that long ago in our series on 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We take notice of that. To be testified in due time. He's being testified of today in due time as the perfect mediator that we need for our salvation. He is the very heart of the gospel, that the Son of God became flesh to be the perfect mediator that we need to save us from our sin. We take a moment here to remember what good news that is for our souls. How we need to hear this because of our own sin. There's good news for us this morning. The good news that when we are hurting because of the guilt of our sins and the reality of our sin is before us. And that can happen in so many different ways. And especially as we stand in the presence of the Holy God, now the good news comes to us and says, we have this perfect mediator, the gift of God's grace, a unique mediator, the one appointed by God from all eternity and the one declared to us here in the Holy Scriptures. When we read the Holy Scriptures, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for Him. To read of Him, to learn of Him, to know of Him, to be comforted by Him. Now let's be more specific. He is the perfect mediator whom we seek. Because He is a real man, because He is perfectly righteous, and because He is very God. This is what makes Him our perfect mediator. He is God and man and perfectly righteous, all united in one, who is the Son of God. So let's notice those three things. Our perfect mediator is a real man. That means that He came in our flesh. He had a real human nature. His human nature was not something put on temporarily. It wasn't something that just looked like a human nature but really wasn't. It wasn't that. It was a real human nature having body and soul. That's the glorious revelation of the gospel to us. He is the seed of the woman. He's the Son of Man, revealed in the book of Daniel, and Jesus called Himself that regularly in His ministry. He's the Son of David, again prophesied in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament as well. He's the Son of David. He's the suffering servant of Jehovah, as revealed in Isaiah 53 and in much of Isaiah as well. He is the one who came as the seed of Abraham. And He is the fulfillment of the promises of God. He is very man. Understand what that tells us about our mediator. He is the mediator that we need because then He can be our lawful, our rightful substitute. Substitutionary atonement is possible. We're familiar with the term substitutionary atonement. Payment made in our place by a substitute. Well, Jesus Christ is our substitute, could be our substitute, because He is very man. Now notice the connection. It's not just something we know. Oh yeah, He's very man. But understand why He had to be that. He had to be that because we are sinful as human beings. We are sinful as men and women and children, and that sin permeates all of us. Not just our bodies, not just our minds, not just our hearts, but also our souls. So there's the question, what is it to be a man? What is it to be human? It's not just to have this body that we see, but we were created body and soul. Soul is part of our humanity. It's part of what it is to be man. And sin, it affects all of it. Not just our bodies, not just our minds, just not our hearts. There are those who have taught wrongfully that it doesn't touch our souls, that the soul in man is that which is good in him. No, that's not true. Our souls are corrupted with sin as well. And so we need a Savior who is fully and really and completely man. And that's Jesus, our Savior. He is very man. Because we are sinful men and women, we deserve to be punished for our sin. Man deserves that. But now Jesus Christ, because He is very man, fully man, He could take upon Himself the punishment that was due for our sin. Perfect mediator, beautiful Savior is He, because He is very man. Secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ is perfectly righteous. Is that not clear from the testimony of Scripture? His own ministry showed that He never sinned. He never sinned once. Tempted by the devil, not only out in the wilderness, but throughout His ministry, He never sinned once. And then very clearly we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. This is what we read there. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit. There it is, the just, the perfect one for the unjust. He was perfect in all of His life and ministry. That's what makes Him our perfect mediator. Literally, He is perfect. He was perfect in His own life. Now, why is that so necessary for us and for our being reconciled to God? For Him being our perfect mediator. Well, He had to be perfectly righteous in order to make payment for our sin. Payment had to be made. And if He had sinned, He would have nothing with which to make that payment. He would be in debt Himself. Not only that, but remember that when He was under the wrath of God, what our Savior had to do was bear that wrath of God
perfectly, obediently, loving God and loving the neighbor as the law demands. He had to be perfectly righteous as he bore the wrath of God. We see in Jesus Christ that he is perfectly righteous. And so we say again, beautiful Savior, perfect mediator is he. He is free from the corruption that plagues our hearts and lives. He's beautiful to our eyes. But finally, we see and understand as well this morning that our mediator is God. He's God. I know the catechism students in Essentials, if I were to ask them this morning, what's the book of the Bible that makes very clear that Jesus Christ is God? And they would know, the Gospel according to John. You look at John, even John chapter 1, where it speaks of the fact that the Word was God. And it declares it very clearly that Jesus Christ is God. And throughout that entire book it does. And that's not the only place. Old Testament and its prophecies, the New Testament, as it fulfills those prophecies, shows He is God. His ministry shows it. He had the power to cast out devils. He had the power to forgive sins. He was confessed by His disciples as being the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that's our confession of Him as well this morning. This perfect mediator is not only very man, not only perfectly righteous, but He is very God because He is the Son of God. Why did He have to be God? The Catechism says it so beautifully in answer 17, that He might, by the power of His Godhead, sustain in His human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. The only way for us to be restored to righteousness and life is if our mediator is God, because only as God could He sustain the burden of God's wrath. Man can't. Man never could sustain the burden of God's wrath. But our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God, He can perfectly love God, perfectly obey God, while being under His wrath, so that what we deserve for our sins is finished. If we were to be under the wrath of God for our sins, we would have to be under it forever. God didn't shorten it. By some amazing miracle beyond our comprehension, the eternity of wrath was placed upon Him and it was finished, because He sustained that wrath of God. How amazing that is. And this is what makes Jesus Christ our perfect mediator. He bore the weight of God's wrath in His humanity and had the power and strength in His divinity to do this. Beautiful Savior, perfect mediator is He. And so we see and understand this morning, we seek Him because of who He is. This encourages us to seek Him. And we'll look at how we seek Him later on. But we seek Him because of who He is. Now, why? Why do we seek Him? Well, as we look here in the second point, and it really comes down to this. In Him is found all that we need for our salvation. In Him is found everything that we need for our salvation. Answer 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Who then is that mediator who is in one person, both very God and a real righteous man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Those words there that we find, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, are all words for our salvation. And they tell us that Jesus Christ is the one who we need and the one who we seek, because He alone can save us from our sin. To understand that, we begin with that last word there, redemption. Redemption. A beautiful word describing our salvation. That word redemption, of course, refers to the freeing of someone from a debt. That's what Jesus Christ has come to do. The Son of God became flesh
and is perfectly righteous in order to free us from the debt of our sin. Jesus Christ paid the debt in our place, and He could do that because of who He is. Now, how did He do that? How did He pay the debt of our sins? You children know, don't you? He took that debt when He hung on the cross. On the cross, He bore the burden of our sins. The fullness, every part of the debt that we owe to God, all of it was placed upon Him. He bore that weight upon His shoulders when He hung there upon the cross. We talk about a debt here. We're not talking about a bill that was mailed to Jesus, but we're talking about the weight of the guilt, not a feeling of guilt, but real guilt. We're guilty before God. That guilt and the punishment that we deserve for all our sins. Jesus Christ bore that when He hung upon the cross. That's why the suffering that He went through was so intense and great. In a couple of weeks, just under that, we're going to remember the death of our Savior in our Good Friday worship service. And we'll remember those words that Jesus spoke when He hung upon the cross, and that the psalmist spoke in Psalm 22 as well. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? We'll remember that Jesus, just before He went to the cross, was so burdened in the Garden of Gethsemane that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The suffering that our Savior went through was more intense than any suffering that you can imagine in all of the world. If you read about the Holocaust and what it is that Jews went through in concentration camps, and it turns your stomach even just to read of those things, even though you don't see them with your own eyes, the suffering that our Savior went through was worse than all of that. But how beautiful it is when we look at it, because we see in that suffering that our Savior went through His perfect righteousness through it all. So that we know that a great exchange took place there when our Savior died for our sins. He bore our sins, the guilt and punishment of those sins, and we receive His perfect righteousness. So that now God declares us righteous in His sight and worthy of fellowship with Him. Redemption is important because it's through redemption that we are reconciled to God. How beautiful that is. And this is exactly why we seek Jesus, why we need Jesus. We need a Savior who will redeem us from our sins and reconcile us to God. We need to be justified before God. The beautiful truth of justification is part of this. We need to be declared righteous, and we can be only on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. Without this, there's hell. Without this, there is no other way to reconciliation with God. Without this, there is no fellowship with God. It's not that this is just one way. It is the only way. And Jesus, our Savior, accomplishes this for us. And this is exactly why we seek Him. And it's not just for that. But He is also our wisdom and our sanctification. So the idea here is that as our wisdom and sanctification, He gives to us a knowledge of God and a knowledge of Himself and a knowledge of our sin. And then He changes us as well. Without this, we are dark. Without this, we are blindfolded to God and to His grace and to our own sin. Without this, we continue on in the way of sin, bondage to it. But our Lord Jesus Christ changes us, gives us eyes to see truth about ourselves and about God. He changes us so that we do not continue in the way of sin. And the basis of all of that is the cross upon which He died. He died in order that we would no longer serve ourselves, but we would serve Him who died for us. and rose again. This is our salvation in a nutshell. This is our salvation, which is the gospel, the good news in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our complete Savior who gives us all of this so that we can have friendship with God. So that one day we will be brought to heavenly glory. And we will have, when we have friendship and fellowship with God, even now. Beloved, let's take a moment to understand how significant that is for us in our lives. To see and understand that this is what we need from Jesus. To see and understand that salvation is our greatest need. Do you understand this morning that this salvation, this redemption, this righteousness, this wisdom, this sanctification, that is what you and I need right now and what you and I always need right now? Do you understand that? Is that something you're living so that every day you end the day by saying, I need Jesus, and therefore I'm going to seek Him? So that's why we go to Him in prayer, and that's why we confess our sins, and that's why we read the Holy Scriptures. That gets distorted in our day. In our day, the thinking of so many, and that comes into the church as well, is that what we need most of all is relief from the difficult circumstances of our lives. And what happens in our own lives, we begin to think that what we need more than anything else is relief instead of redemption. Relief instead of reconciliation. Give me relief. I just want relief for all of this. And so that's what we're praying to God. Relieve the suffering of my life. Relieve the loneliness. Relieve the sorrow. When it might be that God doesn't want you to have relief right now. What we need more than anything else is redemption. And the danger is we begin to think that Jesus is there simply to give us relief. We live in a world today that is focused on relief from suffering and hardship. Now, it doesn't mean relief is wrong. It doesn't mean that if you've got a headache, you shouldn't take an ibuprofen. It doesn't mean that if you have sore muscles, you shouldn't take something for that. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to the doctor. It doesn't mean that relief is wrong. But relief becomes wrong when it becomes the end goal, when it becomes the end game, when everything in my life is simply about relief from the suffering that God has brought upon me. We live in a world that says you can find relief in many different things. So seek after these escapes, and you'll find relief in it. You can find relief in drinking. You can find relief in drugs. You can find relief in watching television. You can find relief in gaming. You can find relief in whatever you can find on your screens. And how many of us are turning to these things or many other things simply to find relief? Not rest. God made us to need rest. The rest of sleep and sometimes the rest of hobbies and other things that we do as well. But we're looking for relief in those things. And then we begin to turn to Jesus and look to Him for relief as well. Thinking, I just need to get out of this suffering. I need to be delivered from this suffering in my life. We begin to think that. So that what we look for constantly in our whole of our lives is simply that relief. But we forget that it may be God's will for us in our lives that we have lifelong suffering. And that some of the suffering that we go through will never be taken away in this life. And that becomes a great danger for us then when we focus on an escape from that suffering. I don't say that flippantly. I understand as far as I can how difficult that might be for some of you to hear. That suffering you go through might be lifelong. And there might be no end to it. And in fact, it might get worse, whether that's an illness or a disease or some kind of other difficult situation. But you see, if all we focus on is relief, then we never really learn what it is that God is teaching us through the suffering that He sends. Beloved, let us understand very practically from this word this morning that this is not just a doctrine that has no bearing upon our lives. No, this is a doctrine that has all kinds of bearing for our lives. That when we see and understand that Jesus Christ is our perfect mediator, and in Him alone is found this salvation of redemption, righteousness, wisdom, and sanctification. When we understand that, then this is exactly why we will seek Jesus. In desperation for this great need, we will seek Jesus, even in the midst of our suffering in this life. Because this is our great need, no matter what our suffering is. Because in our suffering and hardship, we are sinners. That never changes. Our responses are sinful. We don't always see God's promises like we should. We don't see God like we should. We don't see Jesus like we should. We should make it biblical, these things that I'm saying this morning, because they are. It's not just me and some application I make. It's God's application. 2 Corinthians 12. Remember there that Paul relates there to the church in Corinth, his praying that God would deliver him from the thorn in the flesh. Paul asked three times for deliverance from that thorn in the flesh. His thinking was, is without that thorn, we don't know what it was, whatever it was. His thinking was, I could better serve God if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. Ever thought that? I could better serve God if I don't have this suffering in my life, if I didn't have this thorn. Remember what God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What God's saying to Paul is, Paul, you don't need the thorn in the flesh removed. In fact, you need this thorn in the flesh. It humbles you. It shows you your weakness, and then shows you your dependence upon me. You're actually strong in this weakness that you are going through. What you need is my grace, because my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. Beloved, do you believe that? Redemption. Reconciliation. The forgiveness of sins. Perfect righteousness. Sanctification. And where God has put me in that process. That is enough. I have everything that I need in Jesus Christ. You see, that's at the very root of contentment. We have in Jesus Christ what we truly need. And we know that we have redemption from our sins. Deliverance from the punishment that we deserve. That's the question this morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your life right now, for what it is that you are going through, for what you've gone through in the past, for what you might face in the future, forever suffering that God might bring in your life? This isn't just something to say, that in Jesus I have everything that I need. It makes a huge impact on the way that we view Jesus, the way we view God, and the way we view our lives in the midst of this world. This is the hope and the comfort that we need. Jesus Christ is our perfect mediator, who is for us redemption and righteousness and wisdom and sanctification. Because we know that, because we believe that, by the grace of God, then we seek Him. Now let's consider for a few moments how we seek Him. Well, that's where we turn to Isaiah 55 that we looked at or read earlier this morning. Isaiah 55. Looking at especially verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. So seek ye the Lord. We seek the Lord by calling upon Him. What is that seeking and calling upon Him? Well, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. Seeking Jesus Christ, seeking the perfect mediator, means calling upon God, confessing our sin before Him, and crying out for forgiveness.
That's the activity of faith. That's what God has worked in us. We see our sin, first section of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is my sin, the greatness of my misery. Now, what do? I seek for the Savior that God gives. I seek Him. How do I do that? I pray. What do I say when I pray? Father, I've sinned. Be merciful to me, a sinner. This is how I've sinned. I've done this. I've disobeyed in this way. And my heart wasn't right either. It wasn't just outward. This is what was going on in my heart. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for that idol that it elevated above you. I wanted this more than I wanted you. And we confess these things before God. No excuses. No blame shifting. Especially when we face the consequences of that sin. But heartfelt, humble confession and turning from that sin. That includes as well listening to what God has to say to us. Isaiah 55 verse 3, where God says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." God's not saying that if you do this, then I make my covenant with you. No, I make a covenant with you. Now listen to me. Hear what I have to say. We call upon God, confessing our sins, but at the same time we're listening to what God speaks to us in His Word about our sin, about ourselves, about redemption and forgiveness. We seek Him by turning from our sins, seeking to live in wisdom and holiness in our own lives. And thus we hunger and thirst for Him. We long for Him. Not for that which does not satisfy. That's the beginning of Isaiah 55. "O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now it says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" How often don't we give our time, energy, talents for the things that don't satisfy? Seeking Christ means seeking Him, seeking the riches of His kingdom. Seeking to live before His face in a right and good way. It's the way of trusting in Him and obeying Him. It's the way of going to His Word, the Word of the Gospel, and hearing what God has to say in that Word of the Gospel as that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Seeking our Redeemer, our perfect Mediator, Jesus Christ, means going to God and His Word. That's what we do right here. We came here this morning to worship, to praise, but also to hear what we need to hear from God through His servant. We came, when we came in faith, seeking Jesus Christ, the perfect Mediator. So may we do that. May we do that for the right things. Not for relief, but for the redemption that He has accomplished. The righteousness that He imputes to us, for the sanctification that He is working in us, and the wisdom that He gives to us. May we seek Him for that, because that is what He gives to us. May we see this morning our perfect Mediator, and may we seek Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy Word, thankful for what we've learned of Jesus, our perfect Mediator. But we've been exposed as well, Father, because so easily we seek Jesus for the wrong things. We view Him as some kind of vending machine, that if we do the right things, that out should come the right circumstances according to our determination of those things. Father, forgive us for that. And work in us grace and strength to trust in Jesus, to trust in Thee, to trust that we have in redemption and in forgiveness and in sanctification all that we truly need. Because these are the gifts of Thy grace to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, O Lord, then, to know that Thy grace
and this redemption is enough. Continue to bless us in our fellowship in this day. And return us here safely in this evening. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.